In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
It's time to go to the lobby and then get on in that theater and talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family and the Bangor Drive-In. Alan Adams of The Main Edge, here to share movie insight with us on a Monday afternoon. Hello again.
Hello, hello.
When do you get the time to go to movies when you're doing a million shows a week at Penobscot Theater?
Well, it's funny, actually. One of the unanticipated benefits of this happening in the summertime is there are a number of movies that will do a Wednesday release.
Mm-hmm.
And so that allows me to go either on a, you know, on a Tuesday night or like during the day on a Wednesday or Thursday, like before the show. So I have the opportunity to get those movies in as opposed to trying to jam them all in, you know, to a Friday afternoon. Mm. or with two show weekends coming up, but, you know, on Saturdays, like, things are going to get complicated. But I was able to catch an earlier showing of just the one movie this week. There was only one wide release. I went to see Transformers: The Last Night,
which was number one at the box office, but a disappointing number one.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where I think the law of diminishing returns is finally starting to catch up with Michael Bay and company. And look, like, I'm not gonna sit here and disparage someone for enjoying these movies. Like, they're bad movies. Like, I have no problem saying that. But if you like them, that's fine. I mean, yes, Michael Bay is basically the answer to, you know, what if you gave a monkey a 9-figure cinematic budget? I shouldn't say that. Like, he does have some legitimate talent. It's just been sort of subsumed by this weird need for CGI spectacle and close-ups on female body parts and the inexplicable decision to try to convince us that Mark Wahlberg is some sort of robotics genius. You know, for, like, he tried to make Shia LaBeouf happen, and now he's trying to make Mark Wahlberg happen, and it's like, it's almost like he just keeps getting these dares. Like, I dare you to try to do this, Michael, and he's like, challenge accepted. But the reality is, this is the fifth movie in this series, and it's become increasingly clear that no one involved has any concern about maintaining any kind of continuity. Like, you know, nothing, you know, the canon is far from sacred. Like, they basically just retcon whatever they feel like they need to retcon in order to make whatever stupid narrative they've got going this time, make that some sort of, you know, make that functional. And I'm sorry, you can't see the air quotes, but air quotes functional. So in this one, we start off and we find out, you know, the Transformers have apparently been on Earth for a lot longer than maybe we thought they were.
Oh.
For instance, did you know that when King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table were repelling the invading hordes, did you know they did that with the assistance of Transformers? Rich, did you know that?
Stop.
Because that's a thing now.
You're making this up.
Merlin, played by, you know, Stanley Tucci of all people, apparently gets his hands on a staff that was that's basically some sort of alien technology that allows him to turn these giant robots. They transform into a three-headed dragon that flies around and basically repels the invading hordes and allows the Knights of the Round Table to do their Knights of the Round Table thing, while behind them, the giant robots do the giant robots of the Round Table thing, and so on and so forth. Moving into the present day, we're operating in a world where, you know, Transformers are considered enemies of the state by the government, and so they're being hunted. But Cade Yeager, that would be the aforementioned Mark Wahlberg, knows that the Transformers, at least the Autobots, are on the side of good, and so is running some sort of weird refuge in the South Dakota Badlands at this giant junkyard. So there's that. There's a female historian from England who's introduced into the fold. And, well, I bet you didn't know this, Rich. There is apparently a long-standing, centuries-old secret society devoted solely to the secret history of the Transformers. Their last and their current and apparently final representative, played by one Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh my Lord, what are these? What's wrong? Well, we got payday, big check.
I mean, you can, you know, those beach houses don't pay for themselves, Rich. So Anthony Hopkins is like this this British lord who is the keeper of the secret history of the Transformers, along with his robot butler named Cogman. Cogman. voiced by the dude from Downton Abbey. And so it turns out that that Cybertron, which is the home planet of the Transformers, can only be brought back to life by destroying Earth, which the Transformers call Unicron for some reason that's never made particularly clear. And it's left to Cade Yeager, random historian Anthony Hopkins, and the rest of the Transformers to try to save the day before the Earth itself is placed once again into horrible danger. Yeah, like I don't know. Yeah, it's just more of the same nonsense. Like it's so nonsensical. They don't have any kind of narrative coherence whatsoever. And you know, again, like I'm not asking for Shakespeare out of a movie based on a bad 80s cartoon that was essentially a toy commercial. Like, you know, you don't need to be, you know, it doesn't need to be Scorsese, you know, like it doesn't need to be a great movie, but make sense. Like, just make sense. That's all, you know, it's 2.5 hours. This is 2.5 hours long. It is 2.5 hours of ridiculous nonsense, lots of explosions, lots of gunfights, and then, you know, Mark Wahlberg trying to say smart things and looking, you know, mildly concussed the whole time. You know, Sir Anthony Hopkins, who, like, bless his heart, man, because, like, he's really kind of leaned into this whole, every once in a while I can do one of these crap movies and they will pay me a crap ton of money. Mm. You know, good for him, because, you know, he deserves to get paid too. There are actually a couple of moments featuring him and the robot butler that are legitimately funny, but that's not even close to enough to sort of make up for the steaming pile that is the rest of the movie, the other, you know, 2 hours and 27 minutes of, again, of Michael Bay-flavored lunacy.
So is Michael Bay securing his reputation as the worst director in Hollywood?
It's one of those things where... I liken it to like a major league pitcher losing 20 games. Like he's performing very badly, but he's got enough skill to stay in the rotation, if that makes sense. Like he's not like there's clearly talent there, but it's been, again, completely subverted by his utter inability. Like he's the terms good and bad are wholly subjective when it comes to Michael Bay. Like, he doesn't care if you think his movie is good. He doesn't care if you think his movie is bad. He is making precisely the films that he wants to make, and he knows that millions of people are going to go see them. Like, he just does not care. And frankly, there's probably something freeing in that. Because again, he's made good movies in the past. You know, I mean, I don't think he's made one since, I thought Pain and Gain was a great movie. But again, like these Transformers movies, they're paycheck movies. And again, he's a guy who has no problem, aiming at the lowest common denominator as long as there are, you know, multiple commas in his checks.
I know people go see these. Obviously, I don't understand it for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I go because I have to.
Yeah. Nothing. There's not enough. I would not go see that movie. If I will not even watch it on cable, even if it's late at night and it's the only station I can get, I am never going to watch that movie.
No, no. And I'm just still hung up on the fact that we've now had two King Arthur movie things within the last, you know, couple of months, and they've both been just awful.
Yeah, like it's I didn't think anyone could denigrate the legend of King Arthur more than Guy Ritchie did, but Michael Bay was like, you know what, robots.
Hold my beer.
Well, Alan, as we often say, thank you for seeing it so we don't have to.
Sometimes you got to fall in that grenade, Rich.
Anything good coming up here in the next week or two?
One that I'm really looking forward to seeing this week, actually, is Baby Driver.
Oh, yes. I like the trailer.
Yeah, the trailer looks great. It's got a phenomenal cast. Ansel Elgort's in it, John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, Kevin Spacey. Like, it's a really strong group of actors. Steven Soderbergh's back doing his Steven Soderbergh thing, which is great. I think it's got the potential to be a really, really good one. So, I'm looking forward to that this weekend.
Cool. Well, we look forward to hearing all about it next week here on Pass the Popcorn. And we'll see you here on Wednesday, right?
Yes, you will.
Excellent. And your next show is Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
Alan Adams, one of many talented people appearing in the Full Monty at Penobscot Theater. Week number 3 of 4 coming up.
Yep. Get out there. If you haven't seen it yet, get out there and see it. If you have seen it, well, then you clearly want to see it again.